Dr. Kendon, what do you see in longevity medicine? It is a fascinating area.
Well, this is an unprecedented time for longevity because this is the first time that we have the ability to be able to look into the mechanism of how life extends, begins, where disease begins. You realize up to this point in time, it's really been a crapshoot in terms of understanding what is the mechanism, and being able to look into DNA and being able to understand your particular DNA and how it influences your health, your forecast for your life. We're going to have these tools right now. Probably the biggest part of this revolution is the convergence of, genomics with healthcare. You realize healthcare is pretty dumb today. You wait until you have a lump or you have a problem. You go to the doctor takes some tests. At the end of the day, it's a very imprecise practice. Having the capacity to be able to look into your genomic profile, where we can then predict and prevent, will make for an entirely revolution in life extension. And that's
just one problem.
We have to wait for it.
Yeah, one problem, though. You said predict and then prevent. Well, there's going to be a big chasm there, and we're going to be able to, unfortunately, predict long before we can prevent. And so you're going to have a situation where they can look at your DNA, and they can essentially say, look at, 51 years old, you're going to get some sort of incurable cancer. Now, the day will come when we can cure that cancer, but that day is not today. So if an insurance company gets hold of that information, my God, the economy will go topsy-turvy because, well, obviously.
Well, you already have started to see that happen, and you're absolutely right. We could screen all the women in the world and determine, you know, where they stand in terms of two very prevalent breast cancers. We could do a test right now and determine, you know, when you might have the beginnings of Alzheimer's. One out of three men over the ages of 70 are at risk for Alzheimer's. So you're absolutely right. There's going to be this gap between being able to know what the potential risks are and then, of course, being able to cure them. But that's where we are. This is the Middle Ages. This is not the Renaissance that's coming in terms of healthcare. Now, the issue that you talked about in terms of medical privacy, this is a very big issue. In my chapter on the invisible war in the book, I go into these issues. And inevitably, you're going to end up with, given the degree of security that's on the planet today, somebody's going to have a look at your genomic history, and that's it right. Will influence your privacy.
That's right. And so here's a good question for you. How much of a gap are we talking about between when we can predict when these diseases are going to strike and when we're going to be able to cure them? How many years are we talking about here?
Well, I believe within a decade that cancer will be an issue of disease management. I believe we will be able to manage cancer as a disease that will not kill people, will not destroy their lives and their families, but we'll be able to manage it with drugs, manage it with medical devices. The very fast emergence, again, this convergence of nanobio, IT and cognitive science, these are the four key, what I call them, the four key innovation tools that will drive this transformation in healthcare and, of course, life extension. And I believe that, again, some of these, and this is just the ugly truth, we're going to have a lot more information than we're going to have cures. But there's new areas, translational medicine, systems biology, synthetic biology. There's big breakthroughs in using supercomputing to be able to better do predictive analysis. So I'm going to say within 3 to 5 years for certain kinds of treatments, particularly related to cancer, but then within 8 to 10 years, cancer will be a managed disease. People can live with it.
That's very interesting. When you say a managed disease with respect to cancer, do you mean managed, for example, in the sense that AIDS is now managed?
That's correct.
Managed?
That's correct. Exactly.
How do we afford it, doctor? You know, AIDS is managed all right, and I think on average you can expect to live 24 years after diagnosis or something like that as the latest, but my God, at $100,000+ in cost per year, per patient, So if we manage cancer in the same way, who can afford it?
Well, this is, again, this is the other part of all of this. The other part of all of this is that the cost of who pays, who gets the medicines, and then, of course, the other flip side of this is who gets enhanced. We haven't gotten to that part of the life extension phenomena, which, of course, is the post-human and human enhancement and you know, designed evolution. But let's save that in a moment and address this question because it's a legitimate one. I think you're going to have, particularly in, you know, democratic societies, you're going to have challenges where you're going to have to subsidize a certain amount of this care. And this is not something that individuals will be able to necessarily afford. And there's going to be huge social and ethical imbalances until we work this out. But this is an area where government is going to have to step up, and there's going to be much more opportunities for partnership between the private sector, certainly, and governments to enable and enhance. And let me put this together with the earlier trend we talked about in terms of shifts in the workforce and depopulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we're going to need to, governments are going to need to enhance the well-being and health and the longevity of their citizens because, one, we are going to be, again, the two drags on growth, if you will, and security and certainly productivity in the future are going to be people and energy, okay? So, okay. Of course, how do you deal with energy? We talked about that, but how do you deal with people? Well, help enhance them, live them longer. Now, governments are just beginning to wake up to this now, and I'm doing my part to get them to wake up so they can enhance the health of their citizens. So they're going to pay more because it's going to be the interest to have people live longer, be productive members of society. Places like Japan, for instance, you could have 10 people left in Japan by 2050.
God.
I mean that metaphorically. People are not babies there. They have no immigration there. They really have major challenges. There's a bounty if you're willing to get married, for instance, in Japan. You know, there's more people leaving Japan than coming, you know, anyplace else. For instance, in Italy alone, there's more people on the dole, right? And there's more people in pensions than there are working in the workforce. They cannot exist in Italy and much of Europe without opening up the arms to immigration. Well, you're going to have to enhance people's longevity, or you're not going to have enough people.